ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नास्तप्राश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमे श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Maharaj Raghugana meets Jad Bharata, verse 23.
Sastha,
Sastha,
Abhyukta,
Abhyukta,
Nakti,
Nakti,
Prajana,
Prajana,
Sastha, Abhyukta, Nakti, Prajana,
Sastha, Abhyukta,
Again, here we say, chewing the chew or grinding the pulp. This is to say, there is no benefit in it. However, if one is engaged in his own occupational duty as ordered by the Supreme Lord, his sinful activities are certainly diminished. Therefore, if one is engaged in his occupational duty by force, he benefits because he can vanquish all his sinful activities in that way. Please read. My dear sir, you have said that the relationship between the king and the subject.
Or between the master and the servant are not eternal.
But all those such relationships are temporary. When a person takes the position of a king,
his duty is to rule the citizens
and punish those who are disobedient to the laws.
By punishing them, he teaches the citizens
to obey the law of the state. Again, you have said that punishing a person who is deaf and dumb is like chewing the chew or grinding the pulp. This argument offered by Maharaj Raghuna is certainly very effective. In this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.4, Sri Rupa Goswami says, Tashmat kenapi upayena manam Krishna nivesharaya. Somehow or other, one should engage in Krishna consciousness. Actually, every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. But due to forgetfulness, a living entity engages himself as an eternal servant of Maya. As long as one is engaged in Maya's service, he cannot be happy. A Krishna consciousness movement aims at engaging people in Lord Krishna's service. That will help them become free from all material contamination and sinful activity. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.10, Vitarāga Bhaya Krodha. By becoming detached from material activities, we will be freed from fear and anger. By austerity, one becomes purified and eligible to return home back to Godhead. The duty of the king is to rule his citizens in such a way that they can become Krishna conscious. This would be very beneficial for everyone. Unfortunately, the king or president engages people in sense verification instead of the Lord's service, and such activities are certainly not beneficial for anyone. King Raghuna tried to engage Jagannath in Kalyani Kalyani, which is a form of sense verification for the king. However, if one is engaged as a family carrier in the Lord's service, that is certainly beneficial. In this godless civilization, if a president engages people somehow or other in devotional service or the awakening of Krishna consciousness, he renders the very best service to the citizens.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasanta Yoga Bhakta.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, we are at the end of this chapter, almost 2 verses are left of this. So, in this chapter, what we have seen is Maharaj Bharat has been engaged in carrying the palanquin. And because the palanquin carriers did not recognize his position, they engaged him into this menial service. And while he is walking, he's trying to avoid not to step on the ants. So he's not able to synchronize in the walk with the other three palanquin carriers. And because of which, the palanquin is going up and down. And Maharaj Raghuman, who is sitting on the palanquin, he is getting frustrated. He's thinking, what is this? Why you guys cannot carry the palanquin properly? And the other three guys said, we are very efficient in our job. But this new person whom we have employed now, just now, is not walking in synchronous with us. So Maharaj Ravana is sarcastically at first, because he's a new guy, and Maharaj Ravana is he himself is a very good devotee actually. He is in the mode of fullness, which is mentioned by the Acharyas, he is in the mode of fullness. But because of his kingly position, he has to be passionate, he has to be chivalrous. So, because of that, he is first just sarcastically passing comments to Jayabharat. So the first comment he is saying that, you must be fatigued. You appear to be fatigued from carrying this palanquin for such a long time. So that must be the reason you are not able to walk properly. And he had not carried the palanquin for the long time or distance, but still Maharaj Raghuna is giving this sarcastic comment. And then still he is not carrying properly, so he said, you must be old, not very strong and stout. So, of course, Jagrat had a good physique and he was young. But now Maharaj Raghuna is passing this comment so that Jagrat could understand that he should be doing his job properly. But then still, Jagrat is not caring for what Maharaj Raghuna is speaking. So, at that, Maharaj Raghuna gets a bit upset and he raises it from above. And he said, are you dead despite of life within your body? So he's now chastising. Like, you must be dead. Even though you are walking, but you are like deaf and dumb. You are not responding to what I am saying. You are not hearing what I am saying. So, are you dead? But still, Jayabharata is still continuing to do his own things. And then he's saying, do you not know that I am your master? So Maharaj Raghuna is giving the fourth command. He's saying, do you not know that I am your master and you are my servant, so you have to obey me, as I am saying, I am your king. And then finally, even then, Jayabharata is just walking as he was walking, and then he is finally saying that you are mad, and for this disobedience, I will punish you, I will kill you. So finally, Maharaj Raghuna really gets angry, and he is saying that you get that punishment, you are mad. And hearing this, now Jayabharata is responding. Usually the consciousness of Jayabharata was like a Paramahamsa, like he was completely out of his material world. Because we know the past time he was Maharaj Bharata in his previous life. And then because of becoming attached to a deer, he became a deer. And then in the body of deer, he associated with the Sahagun and got this body of Jayabharata, where he decided that I am not going to get entangled into anything material in this life. So he never responded to his father's teaching of the mantras and all the ritualistic activities. So he completely remained detached. Even he did not respond when he was sent to the fields, he was given some broken rice and stale food to eat. He never responded. He never responded even when the dacoits took him away to perform sacrifice. He just put his head and said, so be it, Lord will protect me. He was completely dependent on the Lord. So this was the consciousness of Jayabharata. He was completely out of this world. He was not at all attached to even his body. So at this now Jayabharata responds and says, responds to the king in his own sarcastical way. Here he said, "My dear king, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true." So he said, "Yes, what you are saying is true. The first time I heard you say that I appear fatigued because of carrying this palanquin for a long time," he said, "Yes, I am a spirit soul and detached from this body. The load carried by the body is the result of this fatigue, which does not belong to me." He said that this body is carrying the load, it's not me who is carrying the load. So I am detached. And yes, the body might feel fatigue. And then the second one, you are old, about Maharaj Rahul, who is saying that bodily designations like fatness, thinness, hunger, etc. does not apply to the spirit soul. So whatever you are seeing, this body might be old, thin, fat, whatever you have passed comment, it does not apply to me because I am not this body. And then he is saying that, are you dead despite of life within yourself? And he said, yes, everything that is material is dead. It takes birth and dies all the time. So he is giving this analogy, reply back to Maharaj Ravana, and then he is saying that, do you know that? For the question that Maharaj Ravana asked, do you know that I am your master? And I am the king and you are my servant, you have followed my orders. He is saying that the master-servant relationship is very temporary and conventional. Today you are a master, I am your servant. Tomorrow I will be a master and you will be my servant. It is just based on karma theory, so it's giving that philosophy. And then finally he is saying that you are mad and because you are not obeying my order, I will kill you. He is saying that what is the use of killing a person who is already mad? Because punishing a mad person does not cure his madness. So if you say, if you think I am mad, then you are just, by punishing, you are beating the dead horse. It's giving that analogy. So if you beat the dead horse, it's not going to run any faster because it's dead. So similarly, and he's giving the other analogy by grinding flour. If you grind a flour, it's not going to make anything better, it's only going to get it thinner. So he's giving this one analogy that since you think I'm mad, then there is no point in punishing me. So hearing all these replies by Jayaparatha, now Maharaj Ravana, who was already intelligent, is a king. He is already intelligent and he's a devotee, because where was he going, Maharaj Ravana? Yeah, to be Kapila Muni. So he was already in the God consciousness, because he was going for it after, it was already God conscious. It wasn't like he was a materialistic king. So he understood that this personality who has replied me in this way cannot be an ordinary personality. So immediately as soon as he understood that, what did he do? He came off his old palanquin. He came off his palanquin and paid obeisances downwards to Jayaparatha. Because this is a sign of an advanced personality. He immediately, as soon as he understands he has committed a mistake, and he makes a statement that I am not worried about the thunderbolt of India. I am not even worried about Shiva's trident, but I am worried about offending a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. So this was his consciousness, it was very good consciousness. So he immediately paid obeisances to Bharat Maharaj or Jayaparatha and asked for forgiveness. And said, who are you who are moving around in this way, hidden? So please explain to me. And then he is asking questions based on Jayaparatha's replies. He is saying that the soul appears perfect due to bodily labor. Like milk and rice in the pot experience the heat of the fire. So he's saying that even though the soul is detached from the body, but still because the soul is within the body, it still feels the effect of the body. So you cannot say that because the body is different to the soul and body are not experiencing the same thing. So explain it to me please further. The second comment which they based on master and servant, and this is today's verse. Based on master and servant relationship, which Jayaparatha said that it is just based on karma. But then Maharaj Ravana in today's verse is saying that, but still, because I have got this position of a master or a king, it is my duty to punish the miscreants. So one cannot say that, okay, today I am a king and you are servants, and tomorrow you will be king, I will be your servant, so I shouldn't punish you because tomorrow you will punish me. So that's not a good logic, which is right in one sense, right? So Narada Ravana is saying, it is my duty to punish him. If somebody is not following the orders of the king, as a king, as a kshatriya, it is my duty. And so please explain further. And he is also saying that by engaging in one's duty, one vanquishes all the karma. And this is what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. You have to engage in the occupation duty. So if one does not engage in his occupation duty, then it will further accrue karma. But if one performs his duty properly, then he will get rid of all the sinful reactions. So these are the topics which until now Maharaj Ravana, and there was exchange between Maharaj Ravana and Jadavada. So let's understand now from this context where we are at and what is Jadavada's consciousness. So first of all, as we understood, Jadavada was completely detached from the body. As a wealthy person, and Acharya Sri commented that as a wealthy person is not attached to the clothes which he discards. So similarly, Jadavada was on that level, he was completely detached from his body. Now, he had realized this verse, Najayati Nidhavata Rajiv Nayam Bhutta Bhavitana Bhuya Ajanitya Sashwato Ayam Purana Nahanyate Hanyamane Sarir. When the body is slain, the soul is unaffected. So Nahanyate Hanyamane Sarir. Acharya is saying that he had completely realized this verse in Bhagavad Gita. So, due to being completely detached from the body, the sarcastic words of the king did not affect him. So, only if you are in the bodily consciousness, if somebody tells you something, you get affected. But if you are completely out of the body consciousness, if you are completely detached from the body, whatever somebody tells to the body, to your physical presence, you will not be affected by those things. Sarvabhari Vilimuktam Tattvatvananeva Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchete. So bhakti or devotional service means engaging all the senses in the service of the Lord. So as this verse is in Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchete. So when all our senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, what happens? There are two side effects or two effects. First is, one is freed from all material destinations. He is not attached to any material designations which the body might have. And the second effect which happens is one's senses are completely purified. And this we can see in Bharat Maharaj or Jadavada's character. So as Jadavada, as Bharat Maharaj, he was on the Bhava platform. Bhava platform, which we should understand, is very high level status that one can reach within the material body. So he was at that platform where he was constantly engaged in serving the Lord. But because of Acharya's point of view, because of some previous apradas, he had to fall down from that position. And we see, what did he do? He immediately understood that this fall down was because of his mistake. So there are four things we should understand from this context. The four R's we have to learn from this pastime. The first R is relationship, as it is mentioned in this verse. It is saying that you have said that the relationship between the king and the subjects and between the master and the servant are not eternal. But all the such relationships are temporary. When a person takes the position of a king, his duty is to rule the citizens and punish those who are disobedient to the laws. So these two things in this verse are very important. One is the relationships and the second one is duty. So the first part that we have to understand, that sambandha, relationship means sambandha. So in sambandha, one has to develop a relationship with the within the material circle, within whatever activities we do. So suppose, for example, in the material circle, when you have a relationship with different people, where do you want to be? Whether you want to be on top of your relationship circle or at the bottom of the relationship circle? Question mark. So in the material circle, when you have got building relationship with other people, where would you like to be, on the top or at the bottom?
On the top.
on the top.
But in the management, it says that one has to be at the bottom. Why bottom?
When you are making friends with others in the material circle, you have to be at the bottom. Then you have got a ladder to grow. If you are at the top, what happens? You can only come down. Yeah. So similarly, we have to understand this. We have to choose our association carefully. One should, even in the devotional circle, we know that there are three kinds of association we should be having. What are the three kinds of association? With the advanced devotees, we should serve them, take association so that we grow. With the equals, we make
friendship.
And with the juniors, what do we do? We help them, we cultivate them, we educate them. So what happens if you just have association with the juniors? Sorry?
We can't take friends.
Yeah, so eventually we will take that function. It's obviously because wherever, whatever association you take, you eventually become like them. So it is mentioned that one has to associate with all three. It's not only that we only associate, we only preach. Of course, preaching is the essence of our movement. But just if one is just preaching and not associating with, not any advanced association, then one will eventually fall down. So when we say advanced association, we will not be able to associate with our spiritual master or senior devotees all the time. So what is that relationship that we have to build with? So we have to build a relationship with Shastras. Because Srila Prabhupada has given, what has Srila Prabhupada told about his books? His books are going to save the world. So we have to take association of Shastras. We have to take association of senior devotees whenever we can. So that will help us, because this will create Udipans. Udipans means, does anyone know the word Udipan? Udipan means stimulus, impetus. So it creates stimulus towards our bhakti, to perform our bhakti. Unless, like for example, I'll give you an example, like a person who is preparing for Olympics, he comes first in Olympics. Suppose he completes a sprint, 100 meter sprint in 7.4 seconds. So that becomes a reference point. Next time when he is practicing for the next Olympics, he has to run faster than that. And not only he, everyone who is going to compete, what are their target? To achieve at least that run, 7.4. They wouldn't think, okay, if person last time ran 7.4, he is not going to run again 7.4, no. Right? I can run 7.5 is okay. No. A person who is running for the Olympics, everyone who is preparing for the Olympics, the target point is to finish 100 meter sprint less than 7.4. Only then is there are chances for him to win. And even the person who won the Olympics, even this target is to run faster than that. So this is, and the reason I am saying that is, when we seek advance, when we seek advanced association, we are doing this. We are trying to improve in our bhakti. Because we are looking at something, the goal is something higher. So this was the first R, which is relationship sambandha. So we have to build relationship with Shastras, Sadhus and spiritual master gurus. So there are senior devotees and there are advanced devotees. So when we say advanced devotees, they might have come after us. So they might be junior in that sense, but they are still advanced. So one has to understand that not all senior devotees are advanced, and not all advanced devotees necessarily be senior. They can be juniors as well, but they are more advanced. So one has to seek out for those associations. So relationship. The second R that we have to realize, and this is exactly what Maharaj Rahugana mean. As soon as they realize that Bharat Maharaj or Jagannatha was advanced devotee, immediately fall at his feet and beg for forgiveness and inquire for submissively. Tad yadi pranipatena kavi prashnena
Sevaya. Accept the spiritual master, serve the spiritual master and inquire from him submissively. So immediately we follow that. So one has to build that relationship. The second one is realization. Second R is realization. The first R is relationship, the second R is realization. What happens when you build this relationship with the sastra, with the devotees, with the spiritual masters, with the advanced devotees? You build up your realizations. If you are not building realization, of course, I forgot one more relationship that you build with, some other that you build with, and that is, sorry?
Spiritual master.
Spiritual master. That is holy name. The chanting of the holy names. So that relationship also we are building. So what happens when we have got this relationships with the devotees, sastra, holy name? We get realizations. If one is not getting any realizations in his life while practicing sadhana bhakti, then he has got a problem in his sadhana, he has got a problem with his relationships. So one has to have realization, and sometimes these realizations are, so when we are practicing building these relationships, we are creating these rituals. I'm using this word rituals. We take it many times as a negative connotation, that rituals are bad. But there are good rituals and then there are bad rituals. The good rituals are every day we wake up early, chant our rounds, we perform puja, we perform aarti, we perform our daily sadhana. So even though we don't have taste, but we still do those things. And we read sastra. So these rituals, it is mentioned that they save us in the time of difficulty. Because when we are engaged in this, the sastra is revealed to us, we develop the sastra chakshus. So what is sastra chakshu? We can see through the eyes of the sastra. So these rituals, we have to develop rituals and they give us a realization. Udipana. But one should not be like the mudha. So there are four misnames Krishna mentions in 7th chapter. That four kind of devotees are, they never worship Krishna. The first one is mudha, Naradama, Mahaprajnana and Asura. So one should not be Buddha. Buddha is the person who is working like a donkey. So one should not be like that in devotional service. But one should be very vigilant. One should have built up the relationship while he is performing the sadhana bhakti, and that will give him realization. The third one is, the third R is rectification. So the first one was relationship. Immediately Maharaj Ramana, as soon as he understood, he fell at the feet of Jagannatha and accepted him as guru. The second one, he was realization, as soon as he realized, so because he was a devotee, he could realize the position of Jagannatha. The third one is rectification. So rectification means, as soon as you understand there is a mistake committed or offense committed, you rectify it. You don't leave it till the end. You don't forget about it. Okay, from now on I will not commit an aparadha, or from now on I will not commit offense. One has to rectify. If somebody has understood that he has committed, one has got that realization, I have committed an aparadha, mistake, one has to rectify and one has to confess. This is one thing we know, like in Christianity, there is a confession box, right? So this confession is very important, even in the life of sadhaka, devotee, that one has to rectify, because the whole point of confession is you are accepting your mistake and you are willing to change. And what does rectification do? Rectification breaks the patterns. In our lives, we have developed certain patterns. So, for example, we know that cow gives milk. True or false? True, right? Cow does not give milk. We milk the cow. But cow by its own self does not give any milk. So we have heard this cow gives milk. So from our childhood, from our parents, from our relatives, we have heard cow gives milk. So we take this, it becomes a pattern. This is just an example for just to understand how patterns are built. Because when we hear something from life, for the whole life, then it becomes a norm. For example, the second, there is, to gain something, you have to lose something. That is another false, which we have heard again and again, and we just believe it. To gain something, we have to lose something. But to gain something, you have to work for it. You don't have to lose something. So these patterns are built over a period of time. So this is what the rectification does. When you rectify, when you understand the relationship and build the relationship and realize something, you break, when you do the rectification, you break the pattern. You break the pattern and you are able to progress in your life. And the last R is the retrospection. So the first one was relationship, the second one was
realization,
the third one was recognition, and the last one is retrospection. Now this word retrospection comes from the agile methodology that we implement in our workplace, and which is very interesting actually. It has got three questions. So the first question is, in the retrospection, from time to time we do this retrospection in our workplace. What did we do well? So what is it that we did well during this last? So we have got this retrospection once a month. So in the whole month, what did we do well? The second question is to be asked is, what did we not do well? And the third question, how can we improve what did we do? And how can we avoid what did we not do well? So these are the three questions you ask yourself in retrospection. And this is a very important point actually, every Ekadashi or every month or every year in fact, you do this retrospection in this whole time frame. What did I do well? And if I have done something well, I can just keep doing those things to improve, to build my relationship, to build my realization and to rectify. So if I am doing something right, just keep doing that. What did I not do well? If I have not done something well, then I should stop that and I should see how I can avoid that. And the third question is, how can I improve what I did well? So, is there room for improvement in what I am doing, or is there room to add something more? So this retrospection is very important. So we heard this 4 R's, and this is exactly what Mahesh Rahugana did. He built a relationship, he accepted the responsibility, he started realizing who Bharat Maharaj or Jagannatha was, and then he rectified it, and then he did a retrospection and he's asking questions, how can I change? So this is very important point. And we see when you follow this process of 4 R's, then you come to the point where your realization, you can advance in bhakti very easily. And every time you go through the downfall, this 4 R's will help you look at the situation from outside. As Sachin Maharaj mentions, whenever you are in anxiety, don't be yourself into that situation. Because when you are in anxiety, when you are in stress, if you are in that position, it's very difficult to think properly. Or when you are angry, it's very difficult to think properly. So whenever you are going through these negative emotions, what you have to do is you have to come out of the situation and look at the situation from outside as a third person. And immediately you will see the solution. I'll give you one example recently which happened to me. So that we have been given, we have been gifted a bird, a pet bird, Kukatil bird. If you know, a Kukatil bird are yellow in color, they've got reddish cheeks. Very beautiful bird. And they are very social birds as well, for homes. So we were given this bird last year. And because of their behavior, it's very easy to become attached to those birds. And they will fly to you and climb on you and sit on your head, shoulders, everywhere. And you become attached, like, because they are very, very much surrendered and very much loving and sweet voice. So we were been given this bird last year and we were looking after it, and I can relate this to the past time of Ratna, how one is constantly then thinking of the bird. Of course, the only reason to Bharat knowledge and myself is I was not at the Thawa platform, so I did not have to fall too much. So I was on the railway platform. But this is very, it's very easy to be attached to a personality who is completely surrendered, and that is why you become too much attached to your kids as well, because they are completely surrendered to you. Until they grow to an age, when they become completely independent, then they become a little bit detached. But when they are young, when they are completely surrendered on you, you are attached to them. You are always thinking about them. How can you improve? So, Krishna played a trick. Last Sunday, that bird flew away. So, when the bird flew away, we were just petting the bird, me and my daughter Madhu were petting the bird, and suddenly we did not realize the door was open, and something happened, and the bird just came out and escaped. Of course, the bird does not know how to fly, because that bird had always been in captive. So she knew how to fly small distance, like in the house she can fly, but not long distance. So as soon as she fly, and this bird is very attached, it is mentioned, she is very attached to the cage where she lives in. So every time she flies, she again goes back into the cage. So the only place she knows how to get in is the cage. She does not know how to land anywhere else. So this bird flew off in the air, and we were in the backyard, and it flew up in the air, and because of the air lift, she flew higher and higher, and she does not know how to land, come down. And she's circulating in the sky, and she does not know how to land, so she's going higher and higher. And at one point she went with the wind, and she never came back. So now, this triggered something. As soon as we understood that, now the bird has gone, but does not know how to come back. And these birds are, because social and very captive birds, they don't know how to find their food. And once they land somewhere, they don't know how to land. So eventually when she gets tired, she just crash lands. She stops flapping her wing and she falls wherever she is. And she doesn't move after that. So now the anxiety increased, thinking about the bird all the time. So for 2 days I was just thinking, what would the bird be eating? What would she be? Whether she would be okay, or some cat would eat, or some other birds would kill her. So all those things, so we call the vet, the rescue people, if they found the bird. And I can very much relate to this pastime, seeing that, of course, there is a attachment, as well as there is a concern for life, because this bird, we were happy to give it away, or we were happy to let it fly away, but the only thing is she should not be like killed or something. So that's a concern. But then I realized something. As Sachinanda Maharaj said, come out of the situation. So I was thinking, why am I going through this anxiety? Why am I going through this thought process of continuously thinking I was not able to sleep for this bird? And I realized that because I was thinking I am the maintainer and a protector of this bird. But in reality, when you read the sastra, who is the maintainer and who is the protector? Krishna is the maintainer and protector. That is Paramatma. Of course, we still look after our kids, we still look after our pets. But we have to understand, we can only go to a certain extent. At one point, everyone has to fly their own plane. Even for myself, I can say, I cannot guarantee I will be here or at my house in the next moment. And many times, and this has happened a few times, I have called the Kramanoto Prabhu, I cannot come for service, I am in hospital. So within a moment's notice, I am somewhere where I am not supposed to, I have no plan. So even I cannot maintain my own body, I cannot protect my own body, what to speak of someone else's body. So this one thing thought came into my mind, and immediately that anxiety which I was going through disappeared. Because as soon as I thought, Krishna is the protector and maintainer of everything, and he will protect and maintain the bird. As the bird was, what came to us, it will go to the next owner. Krishna is there with the bird, and he will protect the bird. It's not me who is protecting or protecting God. That anxiety disappeared immediately. It was just like completely gone. So this is one thing. And the second realization or second thought which I had, because I'm thinking I'm the maintainer and protector, I'm going through all this anxiety. Imagine how much anxiety Krishna would be going through because we have left him. And we are so much incapable like that bird in this material world. So Krishna must be going through so much of anxiety. So what is going to please Krishna when we again go back? Similarly, if the bird comes back, I will be pleased. But if we go back to Krishna, Krishna will be so much pleased. So Krishna will be in so much of anxiety because we are completely dependent on him. He is our maintainer and protector. And that is why he does not only let us go, he has not only been in this place for us, but he is accompanying us into each and every life that we go into. Whether it's a bird life or human life or pig life or whatever life we go into. Krishna accompanies us as Paramatma. So these are the two thoughts which came, and understanding these two, I immediately, the anxiety went and I feel a lot of gratitude and respect for Krishna. That he has been taking care of us for such a long time. And we should have some kind of responsibility for going back home, back to God. So we should try to go back. So these are the two things I was thinking about. Okay, I will stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Prabhu, you were saying if we associate with the grand devotees, we get realization, but I never got a realization. So, what is the meaning of realization?
Okay, so realizations mean, so first of all, if we are not getting any realization, that can be two things. We are not following the process completely. Or the second thing is, we might be getting realization, but we don't know whether it's a realization. So sometimes when you wash the cloth, some clothes are dirty, you wash them. But the stain on the cloth might not disappear completely, but it has still got lighter. So even though we see that the stain is there, but it has got lighter, which is kind of a progress in the bhakti process. So sometimes we might get, and this is the beauty of bhakti. Prataksha vagamam dhanam susukam kartam abhyaya. We become happy. So when you perform devotional service, do you feel happy? When you come to temple, do you feel happy? Yeah, so of course those are the things which are giving you realization. So we might not know that we are becoming more and more realized. These realizations are only useful when you are in trouble. And they pop up saying, oh yes, this Prabhu or this Mataji or this Maharaj, I told this. And this is the situation I am going through. So we might not, like in this situation, I remember the words of Sachinanda Maharaj. I never thought I would remember those words. But when I went through this situation of anxiety, I remember the words of Sachinanda Maharaj saying that you have to come out of that person. You have to watch the, and when you are in anxiety, you have to watch it as a third person, not be in the situation, otherwise you will never be able to solve the problem. So this one thing clicked, even though I did not thought that I remembered that. So every time you go through the situation, the realizations are there, but they come up when the situation arises. So that is why we have to keep continuing listening, we have to keep associating, we have to keep chanting. Because those all things build up our realization, which will be helpful when we are going through bad times. So yes, we don't see that, oh, today I am 10% realized, tomorrow I am 15% realized. No, it does not work in that way. But we get all this knowledge, we get all this realization, and they are useful when the time comes. Okay, so sometimes we do our service forcefully. So there is two things. As is mentioned, Maharaj Ravana is saying that it is the duty of a person, one has to do his prescribed duty. And the duty has to be done not forcefully, but one has to do it as a responsibility. So there is a difference between forceful and responsibility. The donkey doesn't like to carry the load, but he is forcefully carrying the load. But there is a difference that if one does it with responsibility, he builds up that relationship, he builds up that realization. But if he works like a donkey without thinking, does those things, oh, I have to cook for the Lord again, I'll just cook it and do something because I've prepared four offerings or whatever, I've prepared five fruits, I'll just start. If there is no power in it, then it's like a dog-like mentality or dog-like mentality. So one has to do that system before. I have to do this service, even though I'm not capable, I'm having other services, I still want to do it. So that, there's a thin line between forceful and responsibility. So even though we don't have kids, but we still continue because I want to do it. Because it's my duty to do it. So one has to do it with responsibility. Okay, we'll stop here. Grand Prashant Bhagavatam.